Strip shows that have been a staple for 20 to 30 years are dark now. Hundreds of performers and stagehands, each with skills and abilities not easy to find just anywhere, have been out of work for about 6 months. Like everyone, they're struggling financially and emotionally, but they're in the kind of jobs that, as we said, aren't easy to find, and if they disappear after the pandemic, they likely won't be replicated. So, are these people who work in shows like Le Rev, Atomic Saloon, Love, and other shows sticking around Las Vegas? Have they left town? Are they still training, or are they giving up? What's life been like for you if you're one of those people? If you're a rigger, if you're a stagehand and a performer, you're a big part of today's discussion. Call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also email son at knpr.org. On Twitter, leave a message at KNPR News. And on Facebook, we're at Nevada Public Radio. Now, before we get into this, producer Zachary Green went to the Circus Center. This is a giant training facility where he talked to many out-of-work performers. And here's what one had to say.
All right, my name is Sarah Knauer. I was most recently with the Beatles, Love. I was an aerialist in the show. I did mostly contortion rope, bungee. I was a backup for the character Lucy in the Sky on Body Loop. It's a pretty amazing experience. Cirque is so good at creating immersive worlds that really take you over when you're in the audience or when you're on stage. And it really forms such a wonderful, tight-knit family in the cast and in the crew. I'm definitely not done with circus, and I don't think the world is either. And even if Cirque doesn't come back in the way that we know it, I think traditionally throughout history, any change in climate or environment really invites an opportunity for change and invites an opportunity for creativity. So while we may have to like reimagine and reinvent the way that we perform and the shows that we have, I think it's a new challenge to come back and to find a new way to present our art. I think this has a really strong chance of coming back here.
And that was a very hopeful outlook. And now with us to talk more about that is Didier Antoine. He first came to Las Vegas in 1993 to be part of the big top show Nouvelle at the Mirage. In 1998, he joined O at the Bellagio. He's designed aerial devices for Le Rev, in which he plays Morpheus. And last month, Wynn announced Le Rev is not coming back. It's closed for good. Didier, welcome to the program.
Hello, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. You heard that performer. I almost heard a tinge of sadness in the voice, but a lot of hope. I'd almost say she was kind of perky about it, but you've been around a long time, and I don't know if that length of time colors the way you see it. How do you see things in the near future when the pandemic eases?
Yeah, I don't see it. I really believe that, yes, maybe Cirque gonna come back, but the way I see Las Vegas thinking in all the meetings I had, I think that now the big companies, they are going to be afraid of investing so much money to make such unique shows in Las Vegas. So I really believe that they're going to change their way to think, at least for a few years, and they're going to go down to not easier, but still good quality shows, but not with such a huge budget that they used to have. Which for me is a mistake, because Las Vegas is famous for this. People come to see Las Vegas to see big, big shows. So if Las Vegas decide to change and go back to a show like it's not so as impressive as they used to be, it can be damaging the town.
You know, I can hear the passion in your voice too. You've been in this, you know, in this business, in this world. You helped pioneer Le Rev. Your heart and soul is obviously in it. What was it like when you heard last month that it would be shut down for good?
Well, it was like for all of us, it was like a big slap in the face. We nobody expected this. Like, we went to a Zoom meeting like we used to have, and our company manager was kind enough to every week giving us update of what was going on or what was was not going on, and never mentioned anything. I think even him was surprised. I'm pretty sure he found out a few days ago before the meeting that we had to close. So all the performers, all of us, we kept in touch and we kept training and kept giving hopes, and we were so excited to come back. And we said, okay, it's a tough time now, but it's great for when we come back. It's going to be great because we are going to be probably less show in town to reopen. So people in Las Vegas, come right now in Las Vegas, they complain because there is no entertainment. So when we're going to reopen, people are going to be eager to come and excited to see entertainment coming back in Vegas. So we were like, yeah, we're going to be great. And then we closed the show.
Yeah.
And we couldn't understand because this show has been, from the Concierge Association, been selected best show in Las Vegas for 9 years. So for us, it was no way they're going to close a show like this. It's like a trademark for like big show like this. It's the soul of Las Vegas. So how can you close a show like this?
Yeah. You know, I want to get back to that sentiment. But right now I want to introduce Vuk Radjevic. He's a general stage manager for La Rev. Vuk, welcome to the program.
How are you, mate?
We have talked about this before, and what are your thoughts on that? You heard the surprise and the sadness in Didier talking about the closure of the show, the show that's been so successful, an amazing production. Understanding, what's your understanding of it? Do you get it financially why the Wynn would do this?
Absolutely. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but you have to look at it from a practical standpoint. You know, like Didier said, you know, we were in a unique situation as a team and as a company to mobilize very quickly when given the opportunity to do so. And as a result, that's where I think our confidence came from, is that ability to get everybody back together relatively quickly and start putting on shows again. But I think when you actually stop and think about the financials of it, that's when the reality kicks in. And if you follow the trends, you understand at some point the company's going to make that decision, whether you like it or not. And that's the unfortunate reality of it, is that, you know, when you really, really look at the big picture and you stop and think, you go, under very strict guidelines and rules, 1,600 seat theater, socially distanced at 400 or 500 people, that's not going to cut it financially. And that's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. And by the way, we did get a message on Twitter from a Larry B who kind of goes to this area of questioning. He says, I don't understand why we can't have shows. If we can go to the movies, we can go to see shows in huge showrooms with social distancing. It's ridiculous to see Fremont Street packed, but we aren't allowed to work with reduced capacity. We really want to work. I'm a former Cirque technician. Our industry is completely dead. Many technicians are leaving the industry altogether by necessity, many with decades of experience. If shows restart, corporation wants to run shows quickly, but many things need to happen first for safety. That brings up a question, actually, I had, Vuk, I was going to ask you a bit later, but I might as well ask you right now. If a show like La Rev closes, I wonder what the likelihood is of it, you know, let's say when the economy comes swimmingly back a year from now, maybe a year and a half from now, how difficult it would be to bring back a show like that. I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars, right?
Absolutely. I mean, never say never, but I think if the company decided to turn around and bring back La Rev as La Rev, I still have confidence, and I would say supreme confidence in our people, whoever should still be here, to be able to execute the original vision. And that just, that confidence comes from the people that I know that I work with and I worked alongside, from the performers to the artistic department, from the, you know, the health department. Every single person in that place is an incredibly talented and intelligent person. And if the company said 6 months from now, we want to bring back La Rev, I'm confident that we'd be able to do something relatively quickly. But it's a matter of getting an opportunity to do so. But to answer your question on a grander scale, yeah, it's a huge undertaking to build something like that from scratch. It's an incredible investment financially, and it's an incredible investment physically and emotionally to just pick up, not so much where you left off, but to actually do something from the ground up.
That's Vuk Rejovic. He's general stage manager for Le Rêve, which was permanently closed last month. Also with us is Didier Antoine. He is one of the creators of Le Rêve, and he previously worked with Cirque du Soleil's O. And Didier, you had mentioned that the permanent closure of Le Rêve was a slap in the face. Who do you blame for that? Or who do you think the show could, or could it still go on after the pandemic subsides?
Well, so I don't like to blame people because we are in a unique situation, and but people have to react with no experience, no history of how to react to that kind of situation. But yeah, like Vuk said, we could have come back because the people working for Le Rêve, I'm not talking only about performers, but technicians, people in the offices, they were so much in love with this show that they would have kept in shape, ready to go back. And Las Vegas, they don't realize the amount of talent they have in their own town, about performers and technicians, the knowledge they have. So they are so professional that, yeah, for sure we would have come back easy. And it would have been a perfect, for us, again, a perfect situation to come back, because people now are eager to come back to entertainment, because they like, people don't come in Vegas to gamble anymore. They come to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And so they would have been like thirsty about coming to see a show like us.
So all these highly skilled, really well-trained people are here. And really kind of the question we're asking today as well is, what is going to happen to those people, or what has been happening over these last 6 months? And, you know, a lot has been written about the need to get unemployment to gig workers, contracted employees or independent contractors. You and hundreds of other Le Rêve and Cirque employees have been working, trying to work the state's unemployment system. How has that been working for you?
Well, I think, like everybody else, it's really difficult. Again, because we didn't expect to do this. We were, like, ready to go back. So when you're ready to do 500 shows a year, and then from the next day we tell you you have no more job. So, yeah, first of all, you fall in kind of a depression because you said, shit, I'm useless. Sorry for my words. And then after you go through the unemployment, and you know, some of the performers, they are the best in their field, like a world champion, Olympic champions. Then from the next day, they have to be unemployed. So they don't understand. Then after they go through the process, we all go through the process, and again, the unemployment, they are overwhelmed. So nobody answers the question. First of all, good luck to get an answer on the phone. You have a voicemail after a voicemail after a voicemail. And then you're completely lost, and there's no one to help you, and then you don't get paid, and then you have to fill a claim, and then you have to give reason. And then, again, it's not our specialty. It's not our specialty is to perform. We've been trained. Like, I've been doing this for more than 30 years. I've been trained to perform, not to fill out a claim for unemployment. Yeah. So we are first, we are lost. We don't know how to handle those kind of situation. And then on the other side, there is no one to really help us because they are overwhelmed. There's too many people.
Do you think you're going to stay around?
Well, after the first day, when we received the news, we said, okay, we have to sell the house and we have to go back to... I'm from France and my wife is from Quebec, so we have to go back to Quebec. And then there's nothing going to happen in Vegas. We lost hope. We didn't lose hope on the show. We lost hope about Las Vegas. We said, oh, this town is changing so much, so not in the way we like. So then after we spoke to people, and we have so many friends and people who know us so well. So we say, okay, after talking to them, say, okay, we're going to stay 1 year. We see until June 2021, then we'll decide. If nothing happened before June 2021, we go back home. And hopefully we're going to see things happening before that. We'll see. So we gave us 1 year to see.
That's Didi Antoine. He acted, coached, and helped create Le Rêve at the Wynn, and it was announced weeks ago the show has been canceled for good. It's not coming back after the pandemic. And we're talking about what life has been like for performers like Antoine, but also what the hundreds of highly skilled performers, stagehands, riggers, managers within all of these shows on the Strip, which have been the backbone of the entertainment industry in Las Vegas for 30 years, what will come of them? Are they going to stay here? What have they been doing during the shutdown? And Zachary Green, one of our producers, went to the Circus Center training facility to talk to a lot of these people. And here's another one of those performers.
So my name is Stephen Bryan. So I worked on Luzia. It's a touring Cirque du Soleil show. And I did aerial straps. Vegas is like the holy grail for me, kind of, in terms of circus, because of all the people. It's really, this is the community of circus. You know, the fact that Cirque du Soleil has so many shows here, in addition to other, like, slightly smaller companies that also have, like, cabarets and other things like that. There's just so many performance opportunities and collaboration opportunities, especially now that things are shut down due to COVID. We are a little bit lost in our career because, like, live performance is not even allowed right now. So really, what are we doing? I noticed that most people sort of gravitated here in the past few months, and it had already been a large community beforehand, but now it's just like, for me, it's the place to be, just because now there's so many Cirque du Soleil and other just beautiful, amazing artists that have nothing to do, and so we're just working together and doing things together. It wasn't like a sudden realization of like, oh my god, my job's not a thing anymore. It was more like, just over time, you know, I had also been on Luzia for about 2 years, and my position was a little exceptional because I had recently been slightly injured, nothing serious, but I had to return to the international headquarters in Montreal, and I was on recovery when everything shut down. That was actually a really interesting experience because I got to see firsthand how the entire company ended up managing the situation, and that was... It was just really eye-opening because, you know, Cirque du Soleil is just this massive corporate beast, you know. They're so huge, and they come out with these amazing shows, and, like, it's kind of hard to see where all that comes from, you know, when it's just as large as it is. But one thing that ended up sort of happening with COVID was you got to see sort of the walls break down and, like, the people behind the scenes doing all these things. I sort of began to be able to see the humanity behind the company.
And that was just one of the hundreds of out-of-work people who worked in one of the seven shows on the Las Vegas Strip that feature highly trained acrobatics in Las Vegas. But those shows, now dark for 6 months, have also left costume designers, riggers, technicians, and many others out of work. And now with us is Colin Patrickin. He is formerly a high diver in Le Rêve. Colin, welcome back.
For having me.
So, Colin, we talked with you at the Circus Center as well about what it's been like to be out of work, and here's a bit of that conversation.
A lot of performers I know are really struggling. They're really hurting. Substance abuse is rampant, you know, not just in this town, but in this industry as well. We're thrill seekers, and if we're not getting it on stage, we'll find another way.
Colin, can we talk a little bit more about that? I wonder what you're seeing, what you're hearing from fellow workers.
Yeah, and you know that to say that that's not across the board. There are plenty.
It's not a generalized statement, but you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's ugly, and I think it's affecting everyone in this quarantine. But it is true. We are thrill seekers. We do love what we do, and it's very fortunate that we have a place to train out here, because I know a lot of people have moved to Vegas. Because other cities have completely shut down and still won't allow gyms to open. And since we do have a couple gyms open and the Circus Center is open, it's some people have flocked here and to train. Others have left.
That's really interesting. People during the pandemic have moved here knowing none of these shows are open, but they know they can train here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think and it's a lot more younger people I've noticed, but it's... It goes to the fact that we truly love what we do. Like, this is our passion. This is something that we It's in our soul, it's in our heart, and we love nothing more than doing this, flying through the air, working with, doing partner work, hand balancing, tumbling, diving, what have you. It's really, for some people, it's the only thing they know. Other countries like Eastern European countries or people from the UK, when you're young and you're doing sports, sometimes that is the only avenue. You don't have this option that we have in the States where you could go to college and get an education and participate in a semi-professional sport. That's a very unique thing we have in this country. But in other countries, it's one or the other. You either pick a vocation and stick with that, or you pick circus, or you pick gymnastics, or you pick ice skating, what have you, and that's all you know. That is like what defines you.
Yeah.
And those that are done competing, or they had been in circus their whole lives, that's all they know.
And by the way, you spoke of thrill seekers. And I should mention, because there are a lot of Buffalonians in Las Vegas, you're from Ithaca and you went to the University of Buffalo.
Yes.
You know, you can say hi to all those people at some point. But thrill seekers, you jump about 80 feet into a pool of water about 22 feet wide. I would say that's quite a thrill. I just wonder if you've ever gotten to that point and said, forget it. I can't do it tonight. I'm too scared.
Well, if we're talking about Larev, that's not really an option because I'm being held by another performer.
And they push you if you don't want to go?
Well, they'll just let go. I don't think there's ever been a situation, and Volk, you can chime in on this, that a diver has ever gotten to all the way to the top and said, oh, no, I don't feel like it today. So it's... Yeah, it's a big part of the show, and I should add that the pool's not 22 feet wide; it's 22 feet deep. So I have plenty of room.
Below me. Now, to get that Larev job, you auditioned over 3 years. It took you 3 years to get it. Mm-hmm. So you're working out for 3 years. It's a huge accomplishment. Was it just as huge a letdown when you heard the show was canceled?
It was devastating. I had been living out of a suitcase for the past 7 years, more or less, when I started this this career. I got my start on cruise ships. I was performing in very abbreviated water shows like O and Larev on Royal Caribbean's massive cruise lines. I did that for about 2 years, and I moved out west, and that's when I started pursuing Larev. And my third year, I was actually saying to myself, this is the last time. This is the last time I'm going to audition, because every year I got to the final round. I had great feedback from the casting directors and the people who were there. It simply was a matter of availability. There just weren't spots opening up that fit my profile. And that's not because I wasn't talented enough. It's because the show was incredible. It was so amazing. People didn't want to leave. They were secure. They were happy where they were. And I don't blame them. But thankfully, last year, a position did open up around August, and I finally got that call to come back and audition. And that's why I moved out to Vegas.
Well, what are you going to do now? Larev is done. Are you hopeful you'll get a shot at O if that reopens? Do you want to stay here? What do you think is in your future?
It's so unclear at this moment. The optimist in me is saying stick through it for a year, wait to see what happens, you know, after the elections, after a potential vaccine comes out, to see what the state is like. But the other side of me is convinced that this is going to last a lot longer than we think. And I certainly at this moment just do not have an answer. I don't know if this is the end of my career or if it's just the next step.
The end of your career. I mean, you're very young. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I'm just looking at you thinking you're pretty young. I mean, what do you think you would do?
Moving on from here, I always, my other passion is writing. And but that is still in and of itself a hobby until it's not, much like this. So that's another gamble. So I'd have to find something else in between. And I've done everything. I've bartended, I've waited tables, I've coached, I've delivered food for people. And I did all that stuff just to get here. And so to have to go back, that's been a bit of an adjustment.
Our number is 702-258-3552. Email is son@knpr.org. And on Twitter, we are @KNPRNews. And we're talking about, you know, really the most successful shows in Las Vegas over the last 20 and 30 years. Those are the Cirque shows and also Larev. Larev is closing for good. Well, it did close, and it's not going to reopen even when the pandemic is over. We're talking about what those workers, highly trained, highly skilled, world-class athletes, will do. Are they sticking around here? Are they hopeful that things are going to come back to normal? And we did get an email from David, and he works for In Cirque du Soleil as a musician. He says, I'm a Canadian, but was fortunate to get a green card in 2019 through marriage with my American wife. We've been furloughed since March 15th. I immediately filed for unemployment. I got it without a glitch. I'm still on it, but of course, without the extra $600. I'm supplementing my income with savings. I've been with the company for 20 years. Now the problem is I truly cannot see the day we are going to reopen. I certainly would not go to see a show right now. My wife and I don't even dine out, let alone go to movies or any other indoor activity, as it should be in this pandemic. It's such a difficult conundrum. A lot of other people are feeling that way. And one of those who has a sort of a different outlook on this, who has tried something different since during the pandemic, is Lizana from Las Vegas. Lizana, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
How are you today?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Good. Yeah, so my husband and I have started a performing arts program. We've been artists for many years. My husband, Adam Vasquez, comes from a long line of circus tradition. And I was a gymnast for 20 years. And after doing gymnastics, I got into circus and performing. And I was on tour with Cirque du Soleil. And my husband had been performing primarily in Europe for the last 10 years. And I was in at Ka. When I came off of tour, I came back to Ka at the MGM. And that was great. I had a great time over there. But unfortunately, in March, it came to a close. Mm-hmm. And we were all in this unfortunate circumstances here, and we missed the stage, definitely, but we're doing our part to try to keep the arts alive and thriving within the community. We love this city, and we want to do the best that we can for our youth. So we started this performing arts program called Vasquez Integral Arts, and we have classes offering everything from circus, aerial arts, music, acrobatics, gymnastics, improv acting. Hmm. So we're trying to share our passion and our experience with the kids and really give them the true meaning of what it means to be an artist and to share that with them from our hearts.
So, you know, you're starting this new thing during the pandemic. What's the interest been like?
There's actually been a lot of interest. The parents, they say, you know, I wish more parents knew about this. So we're definitely trying to get the word out and know that there are teachers that are offering them a true artistic experience. You know, from our hearts, we can tell them what it's like to step onto a stage. How does that feel? What do they need to know? What are the words they're going to tell themselves before they go on stage? And to also offer them all of the fundamentals so that they're ready to pursue anything they might want to pursue in the future. Yeah. And even if that doesn't include being an artist on stage, if they go on to be a lawyer or a doctor, they're right. They're going to use all of the knowledge that they learned in these classes and apply it to everything in their life.
And Lizana, do you think you will be going back to work for one of these shows?
I certainly hope so. I am definitely staying in shape, going to the gym, because it's not really a job for us. It's a lifestyle. So we are doing what we always do and keep training. And I love to do what I do. And that's mostly the aerial rope and aerial acrobatics. So I'm continuing to train just because it's in my body, it's in my heart, and we definitely hope that the future of entertainment will continue in the city, and not only for us, but for the next generation to come, and we hope to support that.
Thank you for that call. Good luck with that business, and hopefully, you know, when this is over, if it's ever over, that job will be there for you. Again, we're talking about what's it like for the hundreds of performers on the Las Vegas Strip? We're talking largely about those highly trained, very world-class athletes in the various acrobatic shows, the O's, Le Rev, Mystère. What have they been doing during the pandemic, now that the shows have been shut down and Le Rev is permanently closed? And will there be jobs for them when the pandemic passes? Or, what do you think? If you're one of those people, what are you doing? Are you going to stay here? Or how are you getting by? How are you surviving? The number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can email son at knpr.org. And on Twitter, we are at KNPR News. And I'm here with Colin Patrickin. He's formerly a high diver in La Reve. It's a job it's a job of love for him, really. He auditioned 3 years before he got the job last August, and now that show is closed. And, you know, Colin, despite your disappointment, you had said that the WIN was very transparent with employees about what was happening with the show. How so? What do you mean by that?
They were kind enough to keep us updated on a weekly basis of what they knew, to the best of their knowledge, what the condition was of this show, what the casino was doing. Earlier in this pandemic, when we thought this would just last for a week or two and then maybe a month, they were poised with schedules on how to bring us in, how to maintain social distancing, how they were going to handle the audience and all that stuff. And so they would also send us out workouts. Our physical trainers uploaded a video every day, 5 days a week, for workouts for us to do to stay in shape. And we adhered to it, and we stayed that course with the assumption that we'd be coming back. So they did keep us in touch. And also, another thing they did that was very unique was at the very beginning of this quarantine, for the first 3 months, we still got paid. And that was unique across the board. But when it came to June, when the casino was allowed to open, but entertainment wasn't, that's when we got furloughed. Mm. That's when they said, we just simply can't keep paying you your full salary. So we were allowed to collect unemployment. But that in and of itself has been a nightmare for a lot of people.
That's Colin Patrickin. He was a high diver in La Reve at the WIN, one of several strip shows featuring acrobatics that have been shuttered during the pandemic, and La Reve is closed permanently. And we received an email from Lindsay, and she wrote, many people are leaving. They're giving up on their dreams. Coping mechanisms are gone. Identities are questioned and lost. Lives are being lost literally and figuratively. It's not just a financial issue. It is a mental issue. And I'm here with Vuk Radjevic, a general stage manager for La Reve, The Dream. And Vuk, I'd have to say you look like the kind of guy that you look like somebody that employees would feel comfortable talking to. You smile easily. What Lindsay just wrote, are you hearing that kind of thing, the mental stress from employees of La Reve?
I would say absolutely, and it's something that obviously Colin's touched upon. The messages that you've received have touched upon. There is it's one thing for something like this to happen gradually and for people's careers to sort of wind down. There is a sort of finality to it, and you sort of start to accept and you move on, and you start to look for ways to move into the next phase of your life or your career. This is something that has just happened so quickly and so suddenly that it was an incredibly huge jolt to a lot of people. And it's not even the work aspect. It's the, whether you're a parent. There are other obviously pressures and things that are associated with other aspects of life. But we have a tendency to attach our self-worth to what we do as well. And when you attach that much self-worth to what you do, it can be fairly catastrophic when that is taken away from you. And the natural progression to that is obviously to spiral into areas that you don't want to, or you're helpless to go down. And have people directly talk to me about it. Some have, I've discussed it with colleagues and former colleagues. It's disappointing. It's disappointing. It's devastating. And we all have different coping mechanisms as to how we can sort of get through this. But one thing I can say, and I just spoke to somebody about a week ago about it, and Colin touched upon it, through the shutdown, the WIN was incredible in the way that they dealt with us, the way that they communicated and kept us in the loop with everything. But there was this behind the scenes community feel that most of us, you know, communicated whether it was an issue with unemployment, whether it was an issue with something else. There was an outreach from our, what we like to call the little family, little community, in order to hopefully help anybody that is feeling that way. And thankfully, we have, to my knowledge, as a team and as a family, we've managed to sort of maintain some level of communication and touch with each other to make sure that that doesn't get into that devastating and negative, obviously, outcome.
And Colin Patrickin, former diver with LaRev, you wanted to add to this.
Yeah. One thing that I have been grateful for being in this town is the amount of people that are sharing this experience. And the outpouring of sympathy and support has been immeasurable. But at the very beginning of this quarantine, one thing I noticed was that, especially when we were supposed to be locked down, not seeing each other and we couldn't support each other, that's where I really saw a lot of people just fall into a very deep depression where they couldn't go exercise, they couldn't get those natural endorphins and stuff like that. And I know people that spent, days, if not weeks, drinking or abusing substances and just doing anything for release to just escape this very harsh reality that we're facing. But that said, at that time, it was very difficult to reach out for help. But since this has happened, the community out here is outstanding, and it's been very humbling, the amount of people that have reached out to me personally. And I know we're all supporting each other in this. And so that's one kind of silver lining that's kind of come through this, where everyone's been very understanding and doing the best they can to help each other out. Because, whether we work for a different show or not, this whole town is like one big family. And this community is very small. We all know each other. If we don't know each other directly, we know each other from different walks of life.
And it is interesting, your type of job, like you said, it's not just a mental job. I can come to work, but I don't have to be in shape or anything, but your job is both mental and physical. Mm-hmm. So it's part of almost your entire, the fiber of your being. So when it's gone, maybe it does have more impact on somebody in your line of work than it might on somebody who, like myself, goes to an office every day. We are talking about the impact on workers, Cirque du Soleil workers, LaRev workers, the highly trained, highly specialized people who work in those positions, now that they've been out of work for 6 months, LaRev is gone for good, and the impact that it has had on them and how they're surviving the furloughs. And joining us now is another one of those performers, Nadine Brandl. She was a synchronized swimmer for LaRev, and before she got there, she was a two-time Olympian for Australia. Nadine, welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. I have to make a little correction there. I'm
Austria.
From Austria in Europe, yes.
Well, sorry for that error, Austria. Nadine, you've been listening to these colleagues and others who work in these shows on the Strip. Do you share a lot of their feelings?
Absolutely, yes. It's definitely a hard time and a lot to go through. And just like with being an athlete, it used to be like that. You tie your identity to what defines you, and that is the sport. And I understand it's pretty much the exact same thing with being an artist and living that very specific lifestyle that we have known for so many years. And oftentimes for everybody, it's not just a job, but being in a show comes with so much more. You gain so many close friends. You gain a lot of friends. They're very close to your life. You almost call them family. Some people start families throughout the shows. So it's a very tight community.
What have you been doing during the 6 months that you haven't been working, at the show anymore?
Funny enough, I signed up for an education before the whole pandemic happened. So I was busy with a yoga teacher certificate. Mm. And in the beginning of the show of the pandemic, like Colin said, we were ready to come back any moment. So I did a lot of workouts. I stayed in shape. I reviewed the show to be ready for whenever that was. And along the time, I could see that this is going to take a lot longer than everybody was thinking it would. I was lucky enough to be able to travel home to my home country for a month in the past 6 months and see my family. And other than that, I've been trying to keep myself busy.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the LaRev and Cirque employees have shared that they experienced a period of depression. What about yourself?
Well, there's definitely days where that feeling of being lost is very present, to not know what's going to come next. The thing is, though, life is a lot about changes. So I know that many people have been here for many years. I've been with LaRev for 4 years, and everything is a phase of life, and change is ultimately the very nature of life. So adaption is important. The question is more or less if one's ready for that. And some are ready faster, like Colin said and Vuk said. There's people starting to move out of town already. And that also leaves you with a feeling of questioning yourself, being like, okay, everybody's moving on so fast. Am I reacting too slow? Because I'm more on the same page of wanting to wait it out a little more, because I don't feel done with performing. I do, however, have other options. I have a couple of certificates. I have a bachelor and a master degree, which even if I have that, doesn't necessarily mean that I am mentally ready to do that.
Right.
Because my heart is with performing and with shows.
Yeah, and that's what we've heard from a lot of people today. And Didi Antoine, a lot of younger people or newer performers, you know, we've talked to are pretty optimistic about the future. They see the return of Cirque. But you say that might not be the case. The hotels and casinos could be bringing back smaller shows, comedians and musicians, before they consider bringing back live, large shows like Cirque du Soleil. Why do you say that? How come?
Because we saw before the pandemic, before all this, we saw we talked to each other, and we talked about the other shows, and Mister and Cirque du Soleil, and we realized, like, for the last few years we were having less and less audience member. We still have make a lot of money and everything, but you could see like a change in the interest, and they were starting to talk about maybe we have to look for something else. And then after they were like, before Las Vegas, like 30 years ago, it was all about how to impress the audience, how to make something special that you cannot see anywhere else except in Las Vegas. And after 30 years, the more I can hear, it's like, okay, how can we make money? How can we be more efficient? So they were looking more about making money instead of putting all the passion and all the energy to impress. And the pandemic, I think, won't help this. The casino, they're going to say, okay, you see, maybe we were right. We have to go for what can we kind of show we can do with less money and make a lot of money to recover from the pandemic. And so I feel the philosophy and the spirit of the Las Vegas has changed in that matter. When I came in 1993, and when we opened, everything was about, we don't care about the money. We have to impress. We have to be the city that, if you come to Las Vegas, you're going to see something that you cannot see anywhere else. And over the years, I saw Las Vegas changing. Like, before, Vegas was famous about, everything is cheap. And now I start to see all the price of the room nights expensive. Now we have to pay for the parking. Now we have to, it's all about making money. Yeah. And less about impressing people, making Las Vegas unique.
And Vuk Rajovic, you wanted to add to this.
Yeah, and I think the optics obviously started to show themselves in the last year or so, in terms of where Vegas Entertainment potentially could be heading. Now, this is not based on anything, you know, obviously factual or solid. It's just more, like I said, an observation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at shows like Absinthe, intimate, smaller, can cater to a smaller audience, and they've been very, very successful. And that's that could be the new direction that Didier is also talking about, looking at it from a financial standpoint. I have a feeling that very recent history has shown us what direction Vegas is heading in. And I think the pandemic and the shutdowns have allowed for companies to sort of stop, think, and reevaluate what it is they want to do moving forward.
Colin Patrickin, you have 10 seconds. How important is it that you are not able to give a final bow?
I'm sure it impacts more people. It impacts other people more than me, but it was devastating. I did not know at the time that was my last time on stage.
And that's all the time we have. Colin Patrickin is a former high diver in Larev. Vuk Rejovic was the general manager for the same show. Nadine Brandl is a former Olympian and synchronized swimmer in the show. And Didier Antoine is one of the creators, coaches, and performers of Larev. I want to thank them and the listeners who called or wrote in.